The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
Hello, citizens of Gotham. I am Karen, the overdramatic Scarlet Cougar.
And I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
Welcome to Gotham Undercover. This is episode 76. We're part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover.
That's right.
Today we're going to be talking about Let Them Eat Pie, the ninth episode of season four. But before we do that, we have some feedback that was left over from last week. Sorry, Chris. So let's read that. And how do we read Batarang feedback? That is right. We certainly do read it like that. So Chris has feedback from Stop Hitting Yourself, and we wanted to make sure to get it in there because he always has great feedback. So here he is, Stop Hitting Yourself feedback again. Remember, the show is on at 8 p.m., he says, as Grundy clubs a guy to death with his own arm. Right? I loved Selina's reactions to Penguin's rant. Reminded me of being in grade school and trying not to laugh when the substitute teacher flies off the handle because we pushed her to that point, if the truth be told.
Indeed.
Yeah. Oswald always appears to be this close to legitimately helping kids, and at the last minute, he veers off and delivers the worst advice imaginable. Yeah, but see, it's the best advice to him, right?
Yeah, really.
I was beginning to expect Tabby to start saying, "Hey, big guy, the sun's getting low," to Grundy for a minute there. Wrong universe. How about a little fire, Grundy? Imagining Margaret Hamilton delivering the line. Yeah, exactly. Fire bad! Unless she's going to take a drastic turn for the worse, I see no way Barbara is Harley now. And this is not a bad thing at all. Elseworlds or not, you simply cannot have Harley Quinn until you have the Joker. Jerome is not the Joker yet, so you can't have Harley yet. Oswald mentioning Martine, is touching in a psychopathic way. Yeah, he kind of likes Martine. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, even truer now. From this episode that we've seen.
Definitely.
That's quite a lot to go awry in one day.
Yeah, I love that line.
Me too. When describing what went wrong in the Narrows, Oswald's assistant reminds me of C-3PO. He does, kind of, right? Yeah. The odds are 396,000 to 1.
Never or whatever. Never tell me the odds. Yeah.
Never tell me the odds. Interesting. Jim and Lee both become the leaders they didn't want to become so that someone worse doesn't take over.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, the mirrors. I think I've enjoyed every episode this season, and this one is no different. Not quite as much as last week, so I'll give it an 8.5 out of 10 detached arm clubs. I like that very much.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris. That was good feedback. So we thank you for that.
Really nice feedback.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about this week, Let Them Eat Pie. And this was written by Ulturi Sosa. And first time writing on a major TV series. So that's, you know, very interesting. I looked at the credits. I was like, okay, that's first time going into everything. So
yeah, very cool.
Yeah, definitely. And it was directed by Nathan Hope, who's done work on Lucifer and CSI New York as well.
CSI, hmm.
Yeah.
That's odd.
Got that procedural in there.
Yeah, but again, another DC Comics writing credit, which is great. So
yeah, definitely.
Very nice. So shall we get our ratings out of the way?
Yes. I gave it 9 Gotham people pies.
Yeah. And we're on the same wavelength this week. This was a great episode for many reasons. I give it 9 as well. Fancy French place settings from that little dinner service that he set up there for the cops to find.
Yeah.
It was very grim, but it was very fancy.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. And there is a big reason why this episode is meta. And I'll talk about this in a minute. I'll give my story titles, and right after I give the storyline titles, I'll tell you why. A story, organ grinder. B story, not while I'm around. And hopefully you know that song. It is from a musical called Sweeney Todd. C story, hush, I don't want to go glamping. Okay, so the kid that he's hanging out with, Tommy, turns out to be Hush in the comics.
Right, right.
So that's why I'm saying Hush there. Now, Michael Cerveris, who's playing Professor Pig in these episodes, was nominated for a Tony while playing Sweeney Todd on Broadway.
Wow.
From 2005 to 2006, which is amazingly meta because he is literally playing Sweeney Todd in this episode.
Yeah.
Is he not, right? He's threatening to slit someone's throat if they don't eat meat pie. I mean, human meat pies.
Yeah.
Which is what Sweeney Todd does, essentially.
Right,
slit
exactly.
People's throat and make them eat human meat pies. And I loved it. So good. And finally, we see the man behind the pig mask. And he is taken in at the end of the episode. But man, he got to chew the scenery.
Oh, in such a good way, though. Oh. I mean, I was mentioning in the blog post, he played 3 or 4 different people in this episode as Professor Pig. He played 3 or 4 different people. He got to show off his singing chops, singing from another musical, singing from Chicago.
Right? He sure did.
Yeah, he got to be a baker. Yeah. He got, you know, I mean, he just multi-talented scene chewing this episode.
Big time. Wasn't he like a butler at one point? And I don't remember all the things he did, but he played, like you said, several different roles in this episode. And of course, we know that he's playing those roles, but none of the people know that he's Professor Pig, obviously. But I'm like, oh, well, that's Michael Cerveris in disguise. So it's Professor Pig. And, you know, it's obvious to us that he's in disguise. But, of course, none of them know that. And I was laughing at the same time while I was cringing. And then once I realized that it was those homeless people in the pies and he was cooking them, and I thought, oh, this is gonna come to a head and it is going to be grim. So first, I loved that he and Jim were like on each other's tails for the whole episode.
Yeah, it was great because Jim was actually, thanks to the team that he's got, getting close to him. He's getting closer to him and interrupting him. And so it's nice that you've got this villain who's thinking ahead and doing, but he's getting caught up to by Jim and the team, and that's great that he's that close. Right. And it's causing Pig and his crew to make mistakes, and that's really cool to see.
I know, it was wonderful. I loved that he caught up with him in the smokehouse. And now it ended up that Pig took his partner hostage.
Mm-hmm.
Not his partner, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because he's the captain, but took her hostage. But it also instilled this kind of awe in Professor Pig that he said, "Jim, I didn't know you could keep up with me." And it really gives you that mindset that says, this man is destined for great things. And
yeah.
Of course, we know that already.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, you know, setting that stage in Gotham for James to become commissioner, to be that kind of, you know, behind the scenes hero.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
In order to keep up with all the goings on behind the scenes, in order to call Batman in time. And you know, that's a big deal to call mm-hmm. him in time to save things. You know, because he could call Batman after something goes down and it would never get foiled, but he needs
yeah.
to call Batman before something happens.
Yeah, I mean, it really shows his detective work and his ability to, you see the conversations that he has with Fox, you see the conversation that he has with Harper, you see those conversations and he's getting insight, he's listening to his police in the field as they're looking, and so he's listening to all these things and using those detective skills to put things together to be those steps ahead that he needs to be.
Mm-hmm. And I was in awe of how they really laid that out in this episode, how they made that so clear that he not only deserved that captainship, but even though he was kind of, I mean, he seemed kind of ashamed when they mentioned that he had taken over from Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
But you could see that he deserved it.
Yeah, I really appreciate that because it shows you both in that scene and at the end of the episode when he's working with the press that he feels that responsibility to give them the information to get that out there, but he is not happy with the deal that Harvey got, and you know, he's, you know, they're threatening to, you know, are you going to get the same deal if you mess up? And but you see him there at the end where he's giving the information and then he's really surprised where they're thanking him. So you see that, you know, that movement that goes along, and then also when he's talking with Sophia too, you see him really realizing who he is and rolling with the punches and saying, I'm not happy about how I got here, but I'm here and I think I deserve it and let's move on. So, yeah.
Right. And I'm going to do the best that I can in this job. And he
right.
also, he doesn't badmouth Harvey at all.
Mm-mm.
Like he won't do it and he will never do it, which, you know, another person would do that.
Right.
So, I mean, we know that he would never do that. We just know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Harvey knows that too. And Harvey is legitimately sad because he feels like Jim will be put in that same place.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think James will allow himself to. I think the show will try to put him there.
Right.
It would also write him so that he will get out of it. Don't you
yeah.
think?
I do. I think that there's going to be that focal point, that crucible that he's going to have to go through, and they're going to take him to that point where he's almost there, but he's going to make that heroic turn and do what Harvey couldn't, but he's going to realize that he needs to make it because of what Harvey's gone through. So I think that's where they're kind of going to lead him.
I think so too. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he manages to save the day, save his Ersatz partner, you know, the girl
Harper.
That went with him.
Yeah, Harper.
Harper, thank you. She was definitely hurt very mm-hmm. badly by Pig, but he manages to save her. And that's one of the Not While I'm Arounds.
Mm-hmm.
The song goes, no one's gonna harm you, not while I'm around. So I meant that for Harper, and I also meant it for Martine.
Mm-hmm.
So Oswald, of course, has this bond with Martine, and Pig knows it. And he knows those folks at the table are not going to go easy into that dark night, as it were.
Mm-mm.
And Penguin, he makes an example out of Penguin by saying, I'm going to kill this kid if you don't eat the pies. Now, of course, the one man scoffs, and the example is made.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, it's just an urchin. And guess what? Oswald doesn't like that language.
No. So. I mean, he just digs into that pie and he tells him, if you don't eat, I'm going to hunt you down.
Right. Well, first he sticks the guy in the head.
Well,
kills him.
That's after.
Right, after he kills the one guy.
Yeah.
Well, he kills the one guy, which already shocks everybody at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wondering, you know, well, who's going to be next? I'm pretty close to the dude. And then he says, I will kill everyone else at this table if you don't eat. And, of course, they all pick up their forks. You hear the clanking of everyone picking up their forks really fast and cutting into their stuff. And Pig has already stuck Sophia's hand into the table,
mm-hmm.
you know, to prove a point that she can't talk back to him. And Oswald is eating while she is sitting there with her hand stuck to the table. And Pig says to her, well, you know, you have to eat too. So will you help me? And so he starts to cut into the tart and bring it to her mouth. And she lucks out because guess who comes in? Right in the nick of time, James.
Exactly.
And one of the best fight scenes I have ever seen on this show.
Oh, it was so good. Everybody's just running out and Pig is just tossing the knives. I mean, he is such a showman in this series. He is, you know, he tells Jim earlier that he wants him there for the, you know, the kind of the big reveal and wants him to see that. He's been playing these different characters. Now we've got him, you know, doing the whole knife tossing act. And it gets down to Pig with the two meat cleavers and Jim's got basically a serving tray and they're going at it. It was amazing.
Now, can I say the one move I really liked was when Pig is climbing the table with the cleavers.
Yes.
Right? So he's like sticking the cleavers in like he was climbing a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Just pulling himself along the table in order to get to James. And I thought, oh my God, that is the best move ever. And then he's, you know, he's just hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting. And James is, you know, pulling his leg back each time. And I thought, what a great fight scene this is. And he, of course, you know, you get the obligatory almost in the crotch.
Yeah.
It always has to do that when you're doing knives, right?
Mm.
And, you know, thrown at the head. And then even at the beginning when he just opens his coat and there's like all these knives. He does the flashy you know, opening his coat and, you know, there's knives everywhere and he starts throwing them. And you see that, you know, matrixy sort of, you know, where James, you know, goes to the side and the knife misses him. Just an amazing fight scene between the two of them. So the choreography there, Nathan Hope.
Yeah.
Man, I want you back again and again, please. And more fight scenes. This is a daredevil quality fight scene.
Yeah, and I love there at the end, he's got Jim on the ropes and he's like encouraging him to not, you know, not give up, not make it easy. Mm-hmm. And Jim pulls out the knife out of the guy's head, right? The thing would murder, and takes him out. It's like, yes.
Yep. So it's a good thing that Oswald killed that guy, right?
Indeed.
Yeah, and then I like that when he goes out, James, and he says that Professor Pig has been taken in, I thought for sure he was going to say, you know, there was a lot of carnage in there, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't say what went on. He doesn't make it about what has happened, what has gone down. All he says is he's in custody and that the other police officer has, you know, is fine. She's going to recover. And he answers a couple questions and that's it. He's not about sensationalism.
Right. Exactly.
And I really dug that. So yeah, but that fight scene, man, my adrenaline was pumping. It was so great. And yeah, what was that serving tray made out of? Because he just kept hitting it with the cleavers.
It was wood, but I don't know, red wood, who knows?
Yeah, it must have been hard wood, that's for sure. But man, so good. Such a great fight scene. So yeah, Nathan Hope, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So great. And of course, then we got the other storyline, which is Bruce being teenager emo Bruce. Not literally emo, like, you know, with dark hair and white skin, but emotional.
Yeah.
He keeps now we get a little bit of the stuff from the book in this episode, which is great. He tells him a bit of the story about him and his father.
Mm-hmm.
And Alfred. And he, of course, Bruce tells Alfred, "You don't know how I feel." We get a little bit of that teenager. And they talk about the day that this is the day that he usually went with his father and put rocks up on this mountain.
Yeah.
And Alfred has taken away his phone like a good dad and has rocks in order to put up on the mountain.
Yeah, I really saw what Alfred was trying to do is, you know, connecting him in the scene in the kitchen there, connecting, saying, listen, I've seen what you're going through. I've seen these guys come back from war. They had a purpose. They had a calling. They've come back. They're aimless and they're getting in trouble. And then when they're out on the camping trip, he's trying to make it more personal that this is connecting him to his dad and to the family. And then he makes it personal where he talks about his story and how he needed that help to remind him of who he really was. And it's just falling so flat against Bruce. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bruce actually gives in and goes with him because he doesn't have a choice.
No, not really.
But as soon as Alfred turns his back, he is off and back with Tommy and his gang at the mansion, pulling out
drinks from the cabinet.
Oh, man. It is just all kinds of wrong what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I was really upset about this.
Yeah, it's disrespectful. I get where they're going with this, and it's just so hard because you know what type of relationship that Bruce and Alfred have had in the past, and you just see Bruce pushing away anybody that's really close to him. He's choosing people that he can have his own way with, that he can build his own personality with and have those walls up so that he doesn't have to get close with. And he just really lays it out. It's like, you're not my dad. You're the butler. Start cleaning up. And you're just like, oh, that hurts. I mean, that just hurts so much.
Yeah, but that's him pushing him away. And
yeah,
I think Alfred does know that.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, I think he knows that. And there is going to be that point. I mean, there's a point when every teenager does that to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Alfred gets that. It does hurt. And I do like the part where Tommy gets right up in Alfred's face.
Mm-hmm.
And Alfred is like, you don't want to mess with me, boy. And Tommy backs down right away.
Exactly.
Because Tommy is not a brave kid at all. He has bravado, but he is not brave.
Yeah.
And that says something about the kids that Bruce is surrounding himself with right now, that they are not of high moral quality. They're simply just people that he can toss away. And that is part of why he is hanging out with them.
Exactly.
They're disposable. And he knows it. He knows they're not people he wants to keep around. That's why he's hanging out with them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not people that he wants to get attached to. And, you know, that's his whole thing. I don't want to get attached to anything because attachment hurts.
Exactly.
And you can see that's what's happening. But it's also kind of helping him to develop that I don't care facade as well. You know, he kind of has to do this, right?
Yeah. For him to really make Bruce Wayne the mask, then he has to. It's just hard to see that plot point there, especially as him as a kid, because right now he's just doing it out of reaction and out of just emotions, and it's not purposeful, right? Like, you know, we get to see later on, but it's still hard.
It's a learning experience right
mm-hmm.
now. And it's really not helpful until after the fact yet. So it's hurting a lot of people in his life. But I mean, even these kids, it's going to hurt these kids later on because they are disposable to him, but they don't know it. They don't.
Right.
I mean, they're people. And, you know, this is probably why Tommy hates Bruce Wayne. And he hates Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
When Hush becomes Hush, he hates Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
That's his whole thing. He doesn't hate Batman. So, you know, this might be setting up for, you know, why Hush hates him so much, because they're just, you know, they're nothing to him. And there's all that. And man, it hurt me so bad when Alfred is out there in the woods and the first opportunity Bruce had, he just ditches him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it hurt. It really hurt.
Exactly.
It's a TV show. It shouldn't hurt me that much, right? But it did. I mean, they really embody Alfred and Bruce Wayne to me.
Yeah, definitely.
They really do. I think it's because they kind of have that bond in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have grown into those roles, both on screen and off. And so when it happens on screen, you know that it's true. You know that there's that relationship that we're not seeing on screen, but is happening in the lives of Alfred and Bruce because of their relationship off screen as actors. So yeah, it's great.
Right. Yeah. 'Cause you see them like in interviews and stuff and they act just like Alfred and Bruce. when they're good. I mean, they're friends.
Yeah.
Friendly Alfred and Bruce. So, yeah, it's nice to see that they have that bond in real life. But I guess, you know, when they do something like this, it just tears me up a little bit. So,
yeah.
So did we miss anything? Was there anything else? I mean, I know there was something else, but...
Yeah, I mean, we just... we talk about... Okay, so there's a lot of confrontation with Sophia and Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's basically very suspicious. He gets Martine to spy on Sophia. And we get a makeup between Sophia and Jim. Jim really says, listen, I pushed you away, but I should have known what I was getting into. And they make up and Martine sees. And,
that's right. And he tells Oswald.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so we have those repercussions that are going to get played out. So, yeah.
I forgot about that. And he also got taken hostage because he was... behind the scenes for Oswald.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Martine might not trust Oswald quite so much either. I don't know if that will play out in any way, but...
I don't know, but I just think that it's been very interesting to see those folks interact with, these kind of smaller roles within this episode with Martine, who's played by Christopher Convray, just acting with these big players and not, doesn't say a word, mm-hmm. but just he has to emote from his face and his actions. So it's very cool to kind of see him want to convey that he's on Penguin's side and right. and wants to be a friend, and he's kind of reluctant to show the pad a little bit to Penguin because he knows he kind of feels strongly about Sophia too, but he's got that bond. So he just does a really good job of acting without using words. So it was good to see.
Now I do have to say we got a little bit of I got some personal feedback from Daryl. On this, uh-huh. He was watching last week's episode, and he mm-hmm. says, who's that kid that Oswald's talking to? And my answer was, he's a kid from the orphanage, his name's Martine, and Oswald saved him from some bullies. And I went into this little thing, and he's like, no, who is he from the comics? And I'm like, well, he's no one from the comics as far as I know.
Mm.
And, I looked up some stuff, and I said, I really can't find anyone from the comics that he looks like. And Daryl's answer back... And he's going to kill me for saying this, but he says, well, what good are you? I said, okay. But I did tell him, and I'm telling you in return, that he doesn't seem to be any kind of a villain from the comics. So I don't think Oswald is training some supervillain in the future. No one named, at least.
Right.
That's mute. And that was what came out of that conversation, is me looking up a mute supervillain. And I couldn't really, I couldn't find a human mute supervillain that fit that description.
Right. This is kind of an Elseworld, right. So it doesn't, they can put a different spin and make him into what they want to.
Right. Daryl just wanted to know if it was someone from the comics. So
right.
There isn't someone from the comics that it matches up with. They can make him into someone else, which would be
or cool. They can make him something totally different, something right. new to this lore.
That's right. So there, Daryl. That's how good I am. So we're going to take a tiny break and let you hear about one of the other shows on Daryl's Golden Spiral Media Network.
Hey, this is Martin Flash.
And I'm Cammy the Chameleon, and we're the hosts of Arrow Squad.
Join us here each Saturday during Arrow season for all the info and conversation about all of Star City's heroes.
And villains. We'll be covering the highs.
Oh man, did you see Dinah tonight? Once again, the stunt choreography was fantastic.
And the lows.
Now, if I could just be salty Cammy for a second.
We'll be answering all your questions.
And sharing all your thoughts and theories about what's going down with Team Arrow.
So join us here each week.
We are the Arrow Squad.
That's right. And they do a great job of looking in depth at what's going over on in Star City. So it's good.
That's right. And we have Deathstroke back on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love hearing Brian's little, "We are the Arrow Squad" on there. That's cool. I love Deathstroke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cougarific. Actually, he's my age. I just found out that he's my age. Almost exactly my age. So, woohoo. Okay, so now we're going to talk about... There we go. Meanwhile.
Meanwhile.
Meanwhile, Chris has feedback for this episode.
Yes, indeed. He titles it, "Let Them Eat the Worst Pie in... London feedback."
Yeah, I think he caught on to the theme as well.
Yes, indeed. So he starts off, he says, "Good evening, ladies and gents. For those of you old enough to remember, I dare you to tell me that Pig's priest disguise didn't make you think of Father Guido Sarducci."
It sure did, with the mustache.
Yes, yep. And the hat too.
Yep, exactly.
"I'd be dead because I wouldn't be able to refuse the donuts. Not saying that it's right or smart. I'm just saying I know me."
Yeah.
Indeed. "I want to go on record and say the word miscreant needs to be used more."
I use it. What a miscreant. I have used that in a restaurant when a little kid is running around. And I say, that kid is going to grow up to be a miscreant.
So. I like that one, and I personally like persnickety, so yes, that you persnickety can, we can bring both too. Of those back.
Yeah, I also use apocryphal when there's a story that's just not true.
Right.
Yeah, I use that as well. So, Chris, let's use all those weird SAT words.
Yeah, there you go. says, "I know he's a teenager, but this Bruce is kind of a jerk."
Yep.
Yep. "I'm waiting for Pig to start singing A Little Priest." He goes on, "Aw, Oswald has a mini-me now."
Yeah, I like that hairdo.
Yeah, got the hairdo, got him a suit.
Yep.
"Not quite a little priest, but close."
He did serenade.
Yes. "Someone involved with this episode is a big Stephen Sondheim fan."
Yep.
Well, could be Michael, maybe?
"Not while I'm around." That's Stephen Sondheim, all right.
There you go. He gives us some background. He says, "Robin Lord Taylor was in a horror movie called Would You Rather, in which he tormented guests at a dinner party. I can't say much more about the plot without spoiling it, but it's a good horror movie, even though it's a tad on the twisted side. It was interesting to see him on the other end in this episode."
Well,
I haven't seen that one.
Remember, he also did this with his stepmother and stepbrother and stepsister.
Oh, yes.
So
indeed.
He's been on two dinner parties that ended poorly in the show. I'm going to have to look up that movie.
Yeah. "Best line of the season so far. You have no idea what extreme danger you're in now, son."
Right.
"If I were you, I would walk away." "It's also the only move you can intelligently make when a guy you're trying to belittle responds in the way Alfred did."
Yep. You have no idea what extreme danger you are in now, son. If I were you, I'd walk away.
I tried beforehand. I couldn't do the accent. So I was like, I'm not going to even try.
Tommy pivots and walks away.
Exit stage left, Evelyn. Bruce is more of a jerk now, but I reserve those words for when I'm alone, stuck in in the car in traffic.
More than a jerk. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, exactly.
Stronger language. Yep.
let's get into the early Christmas spirit and sing "I Saw Sophia Kissing the Policeman."
Nice.
Oh. This episode was fun in a sick, ghoulish way. I give it 8 out of 10. Mrs. Lovett's, Professor Pig's meat pies. Yep. Thank you, Chris.
Mrs. Lovett's were the worst pies in London.
Yes.
They were made of kitty cat.
Yeah.
The cats kept going missing.
Mmm.
Thank you, Chris, he says.
Yes.
And we say thank you, Chris, as
thank
well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And if you would like to be like Chris.
To have your feedback heard and read on Gotham Undercover, please submit by our weekly deadline of Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Gotham Undercover. And follow the show on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at GothamGSM. Please send us your feedback at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can type out your thoughts, leave a voice message using the provided SpeakPipe widget, or you can call 304-837-2278. To find the complete list of Golden Spiral Media podcasts and to leave your 5-star reviews, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. Now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
Thank you, John, the substitute. Mm-hmm. He is the bestest.
Indeed.
I love that he made those for us. Mm-hmm. He's so great. So you want to tell us about the next two episodes that are coming up real quick?
Yes, indeed. So we're taking Thanksgiving off, and they're going to show the first episode in the season. But then on the 30th, we have A Dark Night, Things That Go Boom. Gordon tries to broker a deal with Penguin that involves Sophia. Meanwhile, Alfred tries to pull Bruce out of his teenage angst and downward spiral. As Lee Tompkins gains more control over the Narrows in an all-new A Dark Night, Things That Go Boom episode of Gotham, airing on Thursday, November 30th.
Things that make me go boom. I'm sorry, that's the wrong song. Okay, and then the next episode.
And then on December 7th, we have episode 11, and it's called A Queen Takes Night. Mm-hmm. So not much of a description on that one, official one that I've seen quite yet, so I'm going to kind of leave that until we get an official one. But looks like we may have one more episode in December after episode 11. And then we've got a winter break possibly. But the good news is we know because of the news this week that X-Files will not be interfering with Gotham because they're going to be on Wednesday nights. And so we get X-Files and we get Gotham. We're just not sure when Gotham comes back.
Awesome.
Indeed.
That's great. I love that we're going to get Gotham for the whole season without a big, long interruption.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Now, I wonder who the queen is. We know who the knight is.
Yeah, yes, indeed. But any time I see Queen, I think Oliver Queen now. I was like,
right, yeah.
What? But
I don't
no.
think he's coming on the show yet.
No. He'd be a little young.
The Queen. Harley?
Yeah, Harley or Barbara or Lee? Who knows?
Yeah. We'll find out. That is stymieing me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I guess that is it for this week.
Indeed.
Again, we're off next week for Thanksgiving, but we will see you the next week for things that make you go boom. I'm sorry, things that go boom. And that will have Penguin, Sophia, lots of Alfred and Bruce.
Yay!
And some Lee Tompkins. So we'll see you then.
See you then.